I like what it said, the story does not end there. Wasn't a beautiful picture. But you know what? Today is a beautiful celebration of the fact that Jesus didn't stay in the grave, but He rose again. He's alive. John's Gospel, chapter 20, if you'll look there with me, we'll look briefly in the Word of God today as we've been carrying our church through a series of messages in the Gospel of John. And of course, it's very fitting that we conclude today's service with this passage of Scripture. Because you see, the video, of course, paints a picture of what took place with our Savior. And by the way, it did not do justice. No video could do justice to what really took place on the cross. No video could do justice to what Jesus really went through. Because you see, no one suffered. No one could love like Jesus loved. He proved His love. In that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And today, really, we can make it a sad occasion, but that's not what it's about. It's a joyful day. Yes, it's important for us to look back. Jesus said that we need to remember the price that was paid for our sin debt. Never forget it. But also we can rejoice that He is God that lives. Today as we look into the precious Word of God, I want you to see something exciting. I want you to see a beautiful, wonderful picture of Christ. As I've said, the last couple of weeks were not easy to look at. It's not easy to consider, but this week we celebrate the great truth that Jesus Christ, who was crucified on a Roman cross and He died, He arose from the dead 3 days later. John reveals to us a portrait of Jesus as the resurrected Redeemer. You see, this one truth is what sets Christianity apart from every other system of belief in the world. You see, all the other religious leaders have died. You think of religious leaders, cults like Buddha. Buddha is dead today. Muhammad is dead. Confucius is dead. Every founder of every religion that has ever existed has died. However, only one has risen from the dead. Praise God. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, and if He's not alive today, then really everything that He did was in vain. His death would have been a waste of time, and all of His teachings would have been really just considered babbling. Without the resurrection of Christ, though, Christianity is just another dead religion. You say, why is the resurrection so important? Because you see, without it today, we'd have no hope. There'd be no reason to gather today because our religion would be of no difference than the ones that I've mentioned that are dead. But what makes this gathering different today is the fact that we know that the God that we come to worship is not dead and in some grave, but He's alive. If Jesus Christ were not alive, then we'd have no salvation today. In other words, there'd be no hope for something after this life that God has waiting on His children. Salvation, I don't know about you, but it's something I'm looking forward to, that ultimate salvation experience, which is heaven. Without Jesus rising from the dead, we'd all be headed to a devil's hell. I heard this week that the Pope says there's no hell. Some said they misunderstood what he is saying, but you know what? That is prophesied of what we can expect in the end times. How somebody could say there's no hell, I don't understand, because the Bible teaches more about hell than it does heaven. Now, granted, I understand why Satan wouldn't want you to believe there's no hell, because you know what? He would want you to deny that simply to continue to do what many are choosing to do in this life, and that's to reject the free gift of salvation, to reject what we've seen just displayed on this video, and reject the fact that Jesus lived and rose again. But hell is the punishment that waits on those who choose to reject Jesus. God never sends a person to hell, because He's a loving God. People who go to hell go there by their own choosing, by rejecting that free gift that's offered. You see, God gives all of us a free will in life. We can choose to accept Him. We can choose to reject Him. And you see, no one goes there because Jesus or God sent them there. People are in hell today was their own choosing. And there may be some here today, you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus. That's your right. You don't have to. You can continue to live a life of denying God or denying the message of the Word of God. You can continue to do that. God's not going to force anything upon you, but He has proven His love for you. Whether you receive Him or not, He still died for you, whether you accept Him or not. But it is your choice to either accept Him or reject Him. And if you choose to accept Him, praise God, there's a free gift that comes with that called salvation. That's for eternity in heaven. But if you choose to reject Him, God has made it very clear. That's your choice. You have chosen to die without salvation, without the free gift that's offered to all of us, and to go to a devil's hell for eternity. There's nothing unfair about that. Because God has told us plainly and clearly, He has made it very clear, this is how you can have eternal life. It's yours for the choosing, for the asking. Praise God, He lives today. Aren't you glad for that? Go with me to John chapter 20, and we'll look at this very quickly. The first day of the week in verse 1, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, to the tomb. And she seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, the tomb. Then she runneth, and she cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciple, and to the other disciple, who which believes is John, whom Jesus loved. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid Him. And Peter went forth, and that other disciple, and they came to the sepulchre, the tomb, and so they ran both together, Peter and John, and the other disciple, they outran Peter. John came in first to the tomb, and he stooped down, verse 5, looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie there, and the napkin, that is the face cloth that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Why is that important? Because there was no thieves, though robbers, they didn't come to get. Have you ever noticed a thief and a robber? They come in your house and they rob your house. They don't just wrap things up and put them back in a neat place. Man, they destroy the home. That wasn't the case here. Verse 8, then went also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Notice the word believed. Didn't take John long to accept the fact that, hey, Jesus is not here. He is risen. I believe what He said has been done. For as yet They knew, they didn't understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without. She was outside of the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. And she sees two angels who were sitting there, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence," in other words, if you have carried him away, "tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." Mary. He didn't shout this. But notice when he said her name, what she turned. She didn't recognize him at first, but when she heard her name, she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," that is in Hebrew, which is to say master or teacher. Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascending to my Father, but I go to be to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things unto her. As we look at the characters in our portrait here of the resurrected Redeemer, we first come to Mary here in these verses. We see in verses 1 through 11, we see Mary's discovery here. Mary came to the tomb a good while before daylight. Now, it's clear that Mary loved Jesus so much and so deeply that she appeared before anyone else at the tomb. And her purpose in coming was to finish really the preparation of the body of Jesus and to anoint him with spices. But immediately she ran to find the disciples after she had found that the tomb was empty, as we see in these verses. And they heard this news. And of course, Peter and John, a little bit anxious and excited to kindly just to see what's happened here. When they arrived, they both saw that the linen clothes that were lying there were undisturbed. The face cloth that had been around his face was lying folded up in a place by itself. You see, just the state of the items that were there in the tomb indicate there was no struggle. It indicates there was no hurried unwrapping of the body by grave robbers. They wouldn't unwrap the body anyway, would you? I mean, listen, you know that didn't take place. And by the way, all appearances indicate that no one had taken the body, but it had been moved through the cloth. In other words, when Lazarus came out of the grave, he came out of the grave still clothed. When Jesus was risen, he ascended through the wrappings. There was a difference. Lazarus was all man, but Jesus is all God. Oh, listen, what a beautiful picture that is. John at least believed that the Lord was alive. In verse 8, the Bible said, we see not only Mary's discovery, but we see her devotion in verse 11. She was so devoted to God, she stayed around in verse 11 weeping and mourning for the loss of her Lord. Why? Because she loved God. She loved Jesus. And Mary had a past, by the way, as we all have a past. And God had brought her and saved her from her past life. And no doubt during that time of weeping and mourning, she was just giving her devotion and thanks to God for what he had done for her. She loved Jesus. She was devoted. You see, the redeemed soul, those who have experienced redemption, as many of us in this room have, will love Jesus. Not love him when it's convenient. Not love him when all is going well in our life. But through the good and the bad, Mary loved Jesus. She sets the example of what devotion is all about. The question that comes to mind this morning, let me ask you, do we love Jesus? Do you love Jesus with that kind of love? We not only see her discovery and her devotion, but in verse 11, we see the darkness that she was experiencing. Mary had eyes that were focused here on the physical evidence rather than on the spiritual answer. We don't fault Mary for this. We would have been in the same position. All she saw was an empty tomb. And it never entered her mind to consider the greater truth that Jesus is alive. She was so caught up in the fact of what took place on the cross and what she had to experience and to go through there. But, you know, Mary had considered the physical. You know, many Christians today live as if they believe Jesus is dead. Jesus is not still hanging on that cross. He's not dead. You see, we don't live our life with sadness and gloom. God didn't want us to leave here with that attitude today, but to know that, listen, as Christians, we have something to be thankful and joyful about, don't we? And excited about. Sometimes we only see the here and now. Sometimes we only see what our tomorrows may be like. And it's hard to really see what God has already done ahead of time for all of us. You see, there's no deep burning desire to worship God sometimes today by believers. You know, but Jesus seeks us out to remind us that He bought us. He paid a great price for us when He demonstrated His love for us on the cross. Sometimes we act as if we're trapped in some dead religion. Oh, listen, we have to be careful of that, don't we, as believers? We're not trapped in some dead religion today. Our God is alive and well. You see, dead religion kills. It kills that joy that God wants to bring us. It leaves us feeling miserable sometimes. May I remind you this morning as a believer that we serve the very one who went to Calvary, who died for our sin, and 3 days later He rose forevermore. Praise God for that. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living whatever men may say. Praise God. And then we see the second characters that are mentioned. Actually, it's two angels. In verses 12 through 13, we find their presence. Now, there were two angels at the tomb. Why were they there, you might ask? Well, these angels, they have been dispatched from God. In other words, they were sent from heaven by God to bear witness to the truth of the fact that Jesus is alive from the dead. You see, really, these angels were sent by God to demonstrate that there were no grave robbers that came and took Jesus' body away. But this was an operation of the power of God, that God was in control here. You see, their message was found to Mary in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. Matthew says, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here." Notice the angel's message that we see that they were giving to Mary and the others. He is not here, for He is risen as He what? As He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Oh, listen, they were sitting by the tomb not to guard the tomb. Jesus didn't need anyone to guard the tomb. You see, they were there to give assurance that no one stole the body of Jesus in the night, because He's alive. Mary was weeping. She didn't understand this wonderful truth. But yet she saw the empty tomb, like we would, and rejoice. The third character, and we close with this, is obviously someone that we're here to worship today, and that's Jesus. Jesus. Now, we see in verse 14, the Bible says, "And when she, Mary, had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." Notice Mary's confession there. In her weeping, she realizes that she isn't alone at the tomb. She sees a man standing near. But she didn't recognize Jesus. Now, her confession for not recognizing Jesus, for not recognizing Jesus could have been due to the fact that her tears maybe blurred her eyes. Maybe so. Possibly the vivid memories of Jesus bruised and bodied. Just the video, you know, at the end of that video, it was hard to recognize that person that was in the video. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Because she was still running that through her mind. But perhaps like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, she was supernaturally, and I believe this to be the case, that God for a moment supernaturally prevented Mary from recognizing Jesus until He chose to do so. And He did. Verse 15, we see the confrontation. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She's supposing Him to be a gardener. The Bible says, said to Him, "Sir, if you have borne Him hence," in other words, if you have carried Him away thinking He's the gardener, "then tell me where you've laid Him." "Why weepest thou?" Jesus says. He goes on to say, "Why are you seeking the dead? Why do you look for He that is alive among the dead?" You know, the questions were designed to remind Mary that Jesus, like John 11:25, is the resurrection and the life. Like Acts teaches us in Acts chapter 3 and verse 12 that Jesus is the Prince of Life. And John 10:18, Jesus is the one who would lay down His life, that He would take it up again, John says. And then John 14:6, John says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the what? And the life. We see the call in verse 16 and 17. Jesus said to Mary, "Mary." She turned and she noticed that she recognized that voice. And she said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master," "teacher." When Mary doesn't respond to His questions, the Lord simply calls her by her name. You know, isn't it great to know that Jesus knows our names today? I mean, if you were put in the same position as Mary, and Jesus would have said, "John," or "Mary," or "Peter," or "Paul," or "Rick," or whoever's here today, and you know what? There would be no problem recognizing the voice of Jesus. Why? If you're a child of God, one day Jesus is going to say, "Come on home." John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they what? They follow Me." We see the command in verse 17 and 18. Jesus said unto Mary, He says, "Touch Me not." Now, He was not being mean there. But the phrase, "Touch Me not," simply gives the idea that she, when she heard Jesus, she did what we would all do. I mean, she had seen her son put to death and beaten, and she literally clung to Jesus, to the point she was holding on to Him and not wanting to let go. I mean, to the point to where he is here, He's alive, and she didn't want to let go. He says, for "I am not ascended to My Father, but go to My brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto My Father and your Father, and to My God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and she did what Jesus told her to do. She told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. It was an unusual message. Mary was told to go and tell the disciples that Jesus was alive. And that not only that, but He is going to ascend to the Father. And it was a message of hope and a blessing to those who mourned His death. The kind of message that we've tried to deliver here today. Jesus is alive, but He's coming back again. He's not dead. You see, it was an unchanging message. We still, over 2,000 years, are still shouting out that same message that Jesus is alive. And as I've said, the world hadn't quite figured out how to do away with that message. Satan hasn't figured out how to do away with that message because he cannot. It'll never change. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. It's not only an unusual message, it's an unchanging, but it's also a universal message. That message is not just for believers here in America, but this message is for those around the world that need Christ as well. We're still commanded to come and see and to go and tell. The world needs to hear people share that message. When I say people, I mean believers. The message that Jesus is not in that tomb. He came out of the tomb. And let me ask you, do you know that message? The message that lives. The world needs to hear that Jesus lives, don't they? Oh, preacher, let's just keep it in the church house. That's not what God intended for us to do. God wants us to go out and boldly proclaim that message to a world that needs Jesus. It won't make us popular, and some of our kids go to a school, and you know what? You've got friends that need Jesus, and the only way that some of them may know, because they may not go to a church, is for you to tell them. It won't make you popular. You won't have a popularity contest that will get you to the top of a list. But you know what? It may be one day that friend that you told about Jesus will come up to you in heaven and say thank you. I don't promote movies too much. Not that I'm against them. I don't like what Hollywood does sometimes, but my wife and I went to see a movie, I Can Only Imagine. How many of you have seen that one? Confess. All right, it was good, wasn't it? Christian-based movie. Took my father-in-law to it, got him out of the house, take him to see that movie. Had a mean daddy, called his daddy a monster. Oh, listen, he didn't want to have anything to do with his dad there toward the end. But when he saw that what Jesus did for his dad, changed his life. He had a relationship that was broken because of abuse. But he saw the forgiveness of what Jesus can do. And God brought and this is a true story. There's a song out, I Can Only Imagine, that he wrote. That God brought the dad and the son together at the end. And the dad had a relationship with his son that continues to live today. All because of the love of Jesus. You know what? Maybe you have that kind of person in your life and you're thinking, well, God can't forgive. Or maybe you are that kind of person that you're not living for Jesus. Thank God. What Jesus did at the cross of Calvary, he did for all of mankind. Whosoever may come to Jesus shall be saved. And if you don't know Jesus today, would you be willing to open your heart, your life up to the Lord? Would you stand with me? All who come to Jesus and believe, as Christians are praying right now, you come to Jesus and you repent. Repentance is the key.